The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Hi, it's Sam Smith. Welcome to my Happy New Year podcast. We don't normally do New Year's highlights in the NBA because our years, as everybody knows, our seasons, which start in September and go, in rare cases, till June, and then beyond with free agency and summer leagues. But 2013, for those interested in the Bulls, no, it was not a very good year. I'm going to try to avoid a Frank Sinatra reference to completely eliminate the majority of my audience here about a very good year. So you can look that up if you're interested in Frank Sinatra lyrics. I got some Ethel Merman, but I may save that for a later podcast. As we know, 2013 was kind of a forgettable year for the Bulls. It was mostly a year spent waiting for Derrick Rose, somewhat in vain, for the end of the 2012-13 season, and then saying goodbye, unfortunately, early in the 2013-14 season. But the end of the year and the beginning of the new year is traditionally, especially in the media, involves a little bit of reminiscences. And while, for the most part, it wasn't a great year of highlights, there were memorable moments. And so, hard as it is to believe, there actually were quite a few of those for the Bulls. And so, let's take a look here. Well, take a listen, to be technically correct, which I think we know I always prefer to do, at the 10 top moments, in a sense, from 2013 for the Bulls. And number one, of course, this is not an official list. Well, yes, it is. Since it's my list, that would be official. Number one I've got is Game 7 in Brooklyn. That was the unlikely first-round series. There were some Bulls still playing in a much injured season. That was truly a great game. Something about, I think the figures like 80% of Game 7s on the road or 80% of Game 7s are won by the home team. The Bulls had taken an unlikely 3-1 lead in that series, blew it, lost Game 6 at home, and then headed for Brooklyn, figuring to lose that against a Brooklyn team that was had its players, Deron Williams, Brook Lopez, Joe Johnson, Gerald Wallace, good bench depth, and the Bulls went in there and absolutely dominated them. Joakim Noah, particularly, going back to Brooklyn, had some huge games in Brooklyn where he played his high school ball. 10 points in the first quarter, 5 offensive rebounds. Bulls went up by 17 by halftime, and then they held on enough to basically put the Nets out for the season, get P.J. Carlesimo fired. And I think as this season has demonstrated, that certainly wasn't justified. But Noah, with a huge game, 24-14 and 6 blocks, has this amazing ability, despite an overall lack of what you consider basketball skills, to have these huge games at big times. Jimmy Butler played all 48 minutes. It was one of 5 games in the 10 playoff games the Bulls played. Jimmy played 48 minutes 5 times. Marco Bellinelli had 24 points. So just a great, great Game 7. Number 2 on my list would be really one of the more remarkable, unlikely games in NBA history. Not long remembered, much like the 2009 playoff series with Boston, which had 4 overtime games, including a double and a triple overtime, but because it was a first rounder, won't be considered one of the all-time greats, much like this one, the first rounder. But this multiple overtime game four, the Nate Robinson game, 142 to 134, Nate Robinson. And with Rose's return, you know, the role for Nate wasn't expected to be substantial. So Nate moved on to Denver Nuggets, much to the dismay of most Bulls fans. And I suspect the coaching staff now, with Derek having gone out again. But Nate, he had several of these kind of games during the season, but nothing like this. And one shining moment, if you will, several moments, was truly amazing. 23 points in the fourth quarter when the Bulls were down 14, came back from 14 down. C.J. Watson missed the dunk. It would have put him down 16. Nate scores 12 straight points, 23 in the quarter, 29 overall in the fourth in the overtime, 34 points for the game, which was a franchise record for off the bench. Jimmy Butler blocks a shot at the buzzer to send it into overtime. Nazir Muhammad, of all guys, clinches it with a putback in the third overtime. Just an amazing, amazing playoff game, which put the Bulls up 3-1 in that series. And as we said, ended up probably appropriately sort of to reflect that season. I think Jimmy Butler also had 21 points and 14 rebounds in that game, another 48-minute game. But Nate Robinson, just one of the more remarkable individual performances you'll ever see, ranking with some of the things you've seen from LeBron James, Michael Jordan in the Bulls' great years. And for a player Nate's size and against the entire defense, just fabulous. So that was number two. For 2013, the year 2013. Number three was probably, well, it's actually, since I put it down, it's my choice, which would be the late March game when Miami came in with that 27-game winning streak, and they were going to break the Lakers' record. Much like the Bulls in the year that everybody said you couldn't win 70 in the NBA, and the Bulls internally defied that, even defied Phil Jackson, in 95, 96, wanted that record and went for it. Phil had been trying to hold them back as long as possible, knowing that you obviously have to save yourself for the playoffs, and that's what matters, and that's what remembers. Winning 70 games don't mean a thing without the ring, as you may remember the T-shirts. But that said, that team was determined to do that and to push it into playoffs, as we know they did. And by this time, Eric Spoelstra had been trying to hold him back as well, and he had given up. You could tell that those guys wanted it. Dwayne Wade was playing those minutes, which may have affected him in the playoffs. You know, in the end, they were able to get through it, but you saw a much diminished Wade. And I think that had a lot to do with pushing themselves through that streak. But by the time they got to Chicago, March 27th, it was 27 in a row. They felt they were going to get that 33 in a row, and that puts you down all time. The Lakers' streak was 33. But the Bulls pull out a 101-97 win. Physical game. LeBron James, in his really frustration more than anything in my view, after the game, complained about the Bulls' physical tactics. And we know the Bulls are a physical and tough team and not a dirty team, the kind of stuff you know you've seen from Miami a lot with Wade, with Chris Anderson, and with Chalmers particularly. But the Bulls play physical and tough, as we know. Don't get a lot of flagrant fouls. And just physically beat up Miami, beat them, stopped that streak again, and basically ended their regular season at that point as they really were disappointed. And LeBron probably never saw him as frustrated than that, because he never complains about physical play, given the fact he's probably the most physical player in the league. But Ding, Luol Deng, with another great job on LeBron and 28 points of his own. And Ding, one of the great wins of the season. Then number four probably comes for in 2013, but comes in this season's part. And that would have been the November 16th game against Indiana. Picked along with Miami as the favorites, and I think that's what that we're seeing that's going to come to fruition. The Eastern Conference Finals, unless anything happens, is going to be the Pacers and the Heat. But the Pacers looking awfully good and had beaten the Bulls a few days earlier, but they came into Chicago, into United Center, and the Bulls absolutely blew them out, getting their footing. It was their fourth straight win. Bulls went up 33 points at one point, ended up winning 110-94. It was the first game, first regular season game in which Derrick Rose had 20 points. Yes, so the call is that he's back. Luol Deng with 23. He was on a roll, increasing his scoring even before Rose went out. Bulls winning their fourth straight, going to 5-3, absolutely dominating the Pacers. Deng shutting down Paul George. And so the notion was, you know what, hey, this team can contend for a title. If you could take out Indiana and dominate them like that, you should be right there. Probably the last great moment of the 2013-14 season, but a great moment in the United Center with the notion of things are possible. Number five in 2013 to me was more of an individual, not a meaningful game in the long term, but meaningful in individual performance. And again, with Joakim Noah, it was the end of February. Last day of February. In fact, the rumors before the game was that it was sort of the startup of the Rose mania, that Doug Collins was in. The Bulls had lost to the Sixers. Rose had been hurt, as we all remember, in the first game against the Sixers. As an aside, when I was convinced the Bulls were the better team than Miami that year because they had Omer Asik to go along with Noah, Gibson, and Boozer, four big guys who Miami just couldn't contend with. That was the last best chance for a title, but I probably shouldn't bring that up now. Anyway, Philadelphia back. A lot of romantics suggested that would be the perfect time for Derek to return against the Sixers. Sixers fans who had back in Philadelphia had cheered Noah when he's had that serious sprain of his ankle that put him out for the rest of the series. Noah goes off for one of the great individual games, really, in NBA history and certainly in Bulls history. 23 points, 21 rebounds, 11 blocks. Dominating win over the Sixers. Noah clearly making the point that, you know, he remembered the Philadelphia crowd cheering and excited about his injury. And so just a great individual moment for, that was the game where it appeared Noah had cemented the Defensive Player of the Year award. But then when he missed 12 of the last 16 games, that sort of slipped away. And it was too much. It was unfortunate because he should have won that award last season, much better than defender than Marc Gasol. But anyway, that said, a really historic performance. Number six on my list would be the beginning of 2013. Bulls go on a trip. A southern trip, win in Orlando, pull out a game there, and then head into Miami and absolutely dominate the Heat. 48-28 on the boards, 19-4 on the offensive boards. Just destroyed them in a game that it was a little closer by the score, 96-89. But physical domination game, the kind of game which I referred to before in the last season, had Rose not had that injury, that the Bulls were confident that they were going to beat Miami and would have and could have. Noah, after that game, famously said, "I don't know if that small ball is going to work against us." And that remains the issue with Miami, and you can see that's why they added Greg Oden. Of course, it's not to deal with the Bulls this time, but to deal with the Pacers, who really are built virtually identical to the Bulls. Defense, rebounding, one star. Number seven, the Bulls just had a fabulous January. And there's any number of games. Really, January 2013 was by far the best month they had during the 2013 calendar year. They were 12-4. And despite a number of injuries, Llewell Dang got hurt, and that really was the emergence of Jimmy Butler. Thibodeau won coach of the month. They had some other great games. They dominated the Lakers and Kobe Bryant in the United Center. Noah with a fabulous dive out of bounds against the Pistons, a save of a ball while other guys were just watching it, tapped it back to Bellinelli, who makes a layup at the buzzer. And Dang with that, he had a game winner, 3 seconds left over Toronto, 18-footer. My favorite was right after that, another overtime game in Boston. The Celtics are about to win it, and they just have to inbound the ball, and the Bulls are going to foul Pierce, but they're able to tie him up. They're just great about getting that jump ball. They tie up Pierce, Boston shocked. Heinrich makes a 15-footer with 2 seconds left to tie the game in regulation. And then Bellinelli in the overtime hits a falling down 15-footer with about 3 seconds left and gets a shower, symbolically ice bucket shower, which was the Bulls' liquid of choice during the season based on everybody's use of tremendous amounts of ice all that season. But a great, great month. The Bulls had gotten to a high point of 11 games over, 28-17. And it looked like a heck of a lot of things were possible with the notion that, you know, this was late January, that Rose could be back for the playoffs and playing at a high level. And the team at that point was still thinking title. Obviously, we know what occurred afterwards, but it was a heck of a month. Number eight for me comes the beginning of this season, probably maybe the most famous preseason game ever. The build-up to Derrick Rose's return, and the Bulls are in Indianapolis, same place where Michael Jordan had his famous I'm back in 1995. Indeed, it's just a preseason game, but Rose is every bit like when he left. Going up, takes a shot, going up against Roy Hibbert, gets knocked down, gets right up, crosses over George Hill and scores, gets 13 points in 20 minutes, and it looks like he hasn't lost a thing from the ACL surgery. Rose averages 20 points in the preseason, has a 32-point game. The Bulls are 8-0 in the preseason. That 32-point game was against the Pacers. And it looks like, you know what, Rose is back. The team is already on a run. Dang is going to be playing at a high level. They got Noah back. Gibson is having his best and has been having his best season, had his best preseason ever, really. He came in prepared. And not that preseason matters, but winning in Indiana, making your little statement, however little it is in the preseason, that you're going to play with the Pacers. Things were looking good at the time. Number nine during the 2013 is sort of the preview of the playoffs. The Bulls are in Brooklyn, the end of this end of the season. Nate, in a harbinger of the playoff game to come, Nate puts in a floater to win the game, for the winning basket. The Nets go back at the Bulls, and Nazi Muhammad makes a block against Lopez to save the game. And this was a game that sort of also symbolized what the Bulls went through. Noah was out with his plantar fasciitis. Taj Gibson had a knee injury. Marco Bellinelli was out. Richard Hamilton, of course, was out. He was out plenty. And Kirk Heinrich had fouled out by then. So in addition to Rose, you had five of the regulars out. Nate Robinson wins it in Brooklyn. Nazi Muhammad saves it. And the Bulls are preparing for a playoff series against the Nets. And number 10 is not the highlight. It's actually the low light of the season. And it's also what could have been. The Bulls are on their circus trip. Second game, Derrick Rose is having by far his best game of the regular season since that great preseason run. He has 17 points in the first half, absolutely dominates Damian Lillard, who really forced up a few shots and got 6 points. Bulls are up 15 points, and maybe with about eight minutes into the third quarter, Rose makes a simple backdoor cut on Noah's going to make a pass. It doesn't make it, tries to turn back up court, then something happens to his knee, pulls up, and we know it's a meniscus, puts him out for the 2013 season. The Bulls, even though they end up losing that game in the end and fall to 6-6, really sort of come apart after that. The emotional hangover of the loss of Rose and potential breakup of the team after the season is just too much as the team starts to, you know, try to gather itself now as we hit the new year. So it was a depressing in a lot of respects, but certainly memorable 2013. So the notion, hopefully, for the team, it'll be a lot of questions, obviously, but still a season to play. The Bulls will see the opening new year, January 2nd. They'll see Boston in the United Center, another of the surprise teams in the Eastern Conference, playing a lot better than expected after trading Garnett and Pierce, which turns out they did that at the right time. And then the Bulls will see Saturday in the United Center, the Atlanta Hawks, who got dealt their own tough blow, losing Al Horford for the season with a shoulder injury. But we'll see Kyle Korver, who's set the NBA record in the past week, hit his 100th straight game, and with at least one three-pointer. Great guy, was a great teammate back in that the run that started in 2010-11. Looks like it's going to end up unfulfilled, but it has been a heck of an interesting 4 years with some pretty good highlights to it. So anyway, we'll be looking forward to 2014 and hopefully some better things to come, including podcasts. Talk to you next week.